afternoon, fellow baseball nuts, and a big warm welcome to the World Series preview on the Johnny and Josh Show. This is season three, 2022. And can you believe it? A season of baseball is almost drawing to an eye. Game one is just around the corner of the Fall Classic. And I've got the ultimate baseball classic joining me all the way across the pond. JC, lovely to see you, buddy.
Great to see you too, Goldie. Exciting World Series coming up, man.
Do you know what? I'm genuinely excited. I'm a big fan of Pete Pratt. You know, Pete, that's like the voice of the UK for the Marlins. And you know, to his eternal credit, he messages all the time. And 99% of the time, I agree totally what Pete has to say. But he put a tweet out the other day. Phillies are in the World Series. Who cares? That was literally all he put. And I just put, I do, Pete. I'm not a Phillies fan, obviously. We all know I'm a Braves fan. They knocked out my team, for God's sake. But I am excited. I think this is going to be a great matchup.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that this is one of those fun matchups where you have David and Goliath to a certain extent, right? I mean, Houston, put aside all the discussion about their cheating and so forth, they're just such a well-constructed organization. When you lose Carlos Correa, yep. And then you pick up a guy like Jeremy Pena, who they developed through their minor league system, and you don't even skip a beat this season. Yeah. And you think about the pitching, you know, you had Garrett Cole in the past, all that sort of stuff. And yet not skipping a beat, Jordan Alvarez, that team is so deep and so good that you think on paper, this is going to be a blowout. But then you look at the Phillies and you wonder if this is one of those quote unquote teams of destiny, right?
Yeah.
Where they just sneak into the postseason, where you look at their pitching and Zach Wheeler's done well, but you know, Aaron Nola got blown out in his one start against the Padres in the championship series. And you look at their offense in the postseason, they only had one player, if you look over the course of all the series, who's hit over 260, and that's Bryce Harper, who's been carrying them. But you had timely hitting. You know, you have Kyle Schwarber having a good yep. series. You have various players just stepping up at the right time. And you wonder if that all coalesces again in the World Series, can we have an upset, which would be really fun.
Let's just do 1 minute, literally, on each section of the postseason that's been so far. So let's first of all, on the wild card, we'll talk about the American League. Cleveland up against Tampa. Cleveland won it. They swept them 2-0. Yet again, the Rays struggling to progress beyond the postseason, despite doing an amazing job in the regular season, which they do every year. And Seattle against the Blue Jays. And perhaps this was a surprise for some, but it wasn't for me, because I really fancied the Mariners, sweeping the Rays. So both of them 2-0. This is the new format of wildcard baseball. What's your immediate reaction to those two matchups?
I got to be honest, Gouldy, I was a little surprised by the Blue Jays being beaten by the Mariners. I think the Mariners are certainly a team on the rise. They have, you know, Julio Rodriguez. They have players that in the long haul, they're going to be really good. But I didn't necessarily think this is the year where they were going to make a run. They didn't make a deep run. But the Blue Jays are a team that I felt was a little more built to have a stronger postseason performance. Yeah. The other series was the one in the American League that I really enjoyed because I love the way both the Rays and the Guardians are constructed. These are teams that are high on defense. These are teams that are contact hitting teams and not necessarily, you know, three run home runs and get away with victories. So for me, I kind of really enjoyed that series. I like the Guardians a lot. I'm a big Steve Kwan fan. Jose Ramirez, who's probably the biggest star of all of those, is a player who I really enjoy. So that was a fun series, even though it was short. And I'll be looking forward to those teams in the future.
I was looking at Rasball's fantasy player ratings for the season. And Jose Ramirez, you mentioned there by name, I think they ranked him fifth overall for the whole season. So that's how good he was. Total team leader. Okay, let's talk National League wildcard. And perhaps a real turn up for the books. The Central winning divisional winners, Cardinals, getting swept by the Phillies. And then the big one, of course, the Mets, who, yes, they were in the wildcard, but they had, I think, the third best record in the whole of the National League, getting downed by the Padres. And I know in many people's eyes, that was a massive surprise, particularly Mr. Langell.
Yeah, Gouldy, I think this brings up the broader question, right, which is the postseason series and the length of the series. Three-game series in this first round, the five-game series, is this fair? And my feeling about all of that is you make a decision one way or another. You either determine, you do it like, you know, the Premier League, and you decide whoever wins the league, and that's the most equitable way to do it. But you sort of leave a lot of excitement on the table. If you're going to decide to have playoffs, whether it's three games or five games or even seven games, these are small sample sizes and you're going to have upsets. So when you have a Padres Mets team, so the Padres, excellent team. I mean, it's not like this should be an amazing surprise.
Yeah.
But maybe in the other series with the Cardinals and the the Cardinals and the Phillies, you have a situation where probably the Cardinals would have been favored there in the three game series. And I know we'll discuss this more in the next round with the Dodgers and the Pods. But ultimately, I sort of feel like you made your choice to have a postseason, to have playoffs, to have that excitement. And once you made that decision, I don't think you quibble over 3, 5, or 7 games. At that point, it's short sample size, and you're going to roll the dice no matter what.
And you know what, buddy? Let's be honest. 3 of the 4 matchups of the wild card, for the first time ever, best of 3-game series, all were 2-0 wipeouts. So actually made absolutely blind bit of difference, certainly for 3/4 of them. Anyway, let's move on. Let's get into the divisional series. We'll stay in the National League since we're there. You've got the Padres up against the Dodgers. I went online and said the Padres were going to win it. I still think most people are amazed that they did. They didn't just win it, 3-1. I mean, that's pretty dominant. And the Phillies, oh my God, talk about a momentum team. I was totally convinced the Braves had everything it took to repeat last year's heroics, and yet they were cleanly beaten 3-1. No arguments. The Phillies were the better team. 2 surprise results for you?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And, you know, credit to you, Gouldy. You did say it on this show that you thought that if the Padres got through and beat the Mets, that they would then go ahead and beat the Dodgers. And that was a surprise. You should have put a few quid on that one, because I think that there was very little expectation of that happening. The Dodgers, just the way they were described, they were just so good. They were almost boring, right? Because the way they would win, their offense was so excellent. Their pitching was so excellent. But it's a short series phenomenon. And I think that the Dodgers-Padres series, even more surprising than the Phillies and the Braves. I think that with the Dodgers, you had a situation where, this is a team that's just so good, and they had had the Padres number all season. I think they were like 14-5 against them.
That's right. That's right.
And then, you have the short series and they get just sort of barreled over. So this is, the short series phenomenon, the uncertainty of playoffs, all these players, anyone who's in the starting lineup can do well. And, the thing about a team like the Phillies going to that series is that it's a team that has a lot of power. And the thing about power is you can hit, you can go 1-for-5. If you hit that 3-run home run, you're batting 200, which is terrible, but you have the 3-run home run, and that's difference making in these short series. So in short periods, that's why you like the power teams the Phillies were that sort of team.
Well, the one team that must have been laughing at the Dodgers' demise, of course, was the Houston Astros. Because let's face it, the Dodgers had a 111-win season, which was 5 more than Houston had managed. And they had the best record in the American League. They had a run differential of +334, the Dodgers. So, I mean, even taking away from their complete dominance of the Padres during the regular season, on every other level, I mean, that was a turn-up for the books. No turn-up, I should imagine, you're going to say, in the American League. The Yankees did beat Cleveland 3-2. It was close. It was competitive. But Houston just swept away the youngsters of Seattle 3-0, complete sweep. And they just look like an unstoppable force right now.
Yeah, I mean, this creates the counter argument whenever it's navel gazing about the Dodgers and the short series. Well, in the American League, the 2 teams that were meant to get it done got it done.
Yeah.
So, again, there's an uncertainty to it. There's always an uncertainty to the playoffs. But if you're, you have your ducks in a row and you're playing the way you should be playing, it shouldn't be a problem. And we saw that with the 2 American League favorites who won in that series.
Okay, so given that reality, staying in the American League, were you surprised to see Houston sweep the Yankees 4-0 in what is a best of 7 series? That is not a small sample size, and 4-0 is so resolute. There can't be any arguments. I mean, having said that, I think there was at least 2 of the games were 1-run games, so they were competitive. But at the end of the day, when it mattered, when the chips were down, Houston was the ones that delivered.
Yeah, absolutely. You look at Houston and you just have to tip your hat to their pitching staff, right? They've got a really deep bullpen. We talk a lot about Justin Verlander, but Framber, Valdez, Christian Javier. I mean, they have depth in their starting pitching. Those guys are often forgotten. They're not big name starters, but guys who can really deliver. And their offensive lineup is so deep. I mean, the Yankees certainly have, the Judges and Stans, they have the big names, but those guys, they're great. But you look at guys like Yordan Alvarez and Bregman, and Altuve was terrible, right? Altuve has just struggled this postseason.
And yet he's their team leader.
Great. Right. Yeah. The depth is so good on that team that they were able to be able to slough that off and still be able to perform as well as they did. So you look at it on paper, and we discussed this at the top of the show, and now we can come right back to the World Series itself. And you have to say that the Astros have to be heavy favorites because of their depth, because of their pitching. You know, I'm not as certain when Aaron Nola's not throwing great for the Phils. It's just, it's going to be interesting, but teams of destiny. Again, when you have a team like the Phillies, who are a great power team, even if they're not offensive in terms of their batting average, in terms of their on-base percentage, that they can be timely in their hitting, they may be able to upset. But that Astros team is just really great.
Well, just to give an insight from the UK perspective, once the Braves went out, because they're the only team I ever back at the beginning of a season, had a few quid on them at 14-1 to repeat. So once they got knocked out in the divisional series by the Phillies, I looked at the four remaining teams and I looked at the odds that were now being offered by UK bookmakers. And they had Houston, despite the fact that they were facing the Yankees, as 11-8 favourites. So not quite evens, but not far off. I mean, even then, and the bookies are rarely wrong. So now that they've made the World Series, I haven't looked again, but I imagine they're at least odds on. So what can the Phillies do? Because let's face it, when you've had to come the tough route, i.e. from the wild card, they've played in 11 games and they've won 9 of them. So they've got momentum. They've beaten Atlanta. That was no mean feat. And they didn't just beat us. They roughed us up 3-1. They beat the Padres comfortably 4-1. They've got momentum. And you've already mentioned Harper as their go-to guy. But they are, as you say, getting clutch hitting as well. Is their pitching good enough to offer any kind of a challenge to Houston?
Yeah, I mean, you have certain pitchers who are really going to need to step up. Zach Wheeler has been great in this postseason. He's going to continue to need to do so. Aaron Nola is going to have to step up. He did not have a good outing in his last start. And then they're going to need the bullpen pieces to really be fine. Sir Anthony Dominguez has been excellent this postseason. Yeah. He needs to continue to do so. David Robertson, who was out earlier in this postseason, he pitched pretty well in the last series. They're going to need him to do well. You're going to need to find your horses, Rob Thompson, the manager, and ride them, right? Ride them in the bullpen and get some good starting pitching. And then you're going to need to have Schwarber, who has the ability to go off, right? We've seen it in the past. That guy has some of the best pure power in baseball. You need him to do well. You need Bryce Harper to stay hot. And, you know, a combination of Rhys Hoskins or Castellanos to actually step it up just a little bit. If you get that, you certainly can win. I mean, they can outslug even the Astros if those guys are hot. So that's what we need to look forward to at the start of the series. Are the top hitters in those lineups doing well? And is the pitching just enough to be able to sort of match up with that? I think back to, you know, the 10-6 win that the Phillies had over the Padres. And that's the kind of, you know, slugfest that they may need to be ready for. But it's going to be tough against an Astros pitching staff that's just so excellent.
Do you know one part of their lineup that we haven't mentioned, and we should, and I'm talking about the Phillies, this, of course, their first trip back to the Fall Classic since 2009, is the difference the fans are going to make. I mean, I've been blown away by the passion that exists here in the UK for the Phillies amongst Phillies fans. But according to MLB and their official e-commerce partner, Fanatics, the Phillies set a 24-hour record for a championship series winner, and that's for American League or National League, for merchandise sale, following them clinching on the Sunday night to advance to the World Series. They sold more gear that celebrating that win than any team in the history of baseball. This is a passionate franchise. They've got 3 of those 7 games at home. That could be a big difference maker.
Well, and consider their history, Gouldie, right? They've won 2 World Series. They won 1980. I believe they won in 2008. So here's a club that has a very long history. I know the Astros have only won 1 World Series, but they have a shorter history.
Yeah.
When you have that long a history, when you have struggled for huge swaths of it, that you definitely can sense that there is a lot of love for this franchise. I mean, Philly's a sports town, right? Whether it's the, you know, the 76ers or the Flyers, you know, or the Eagles, it's a sports town. So when you have a franchise that has struggled over a large course of its history, and you have a strong fan base, it's definitely the type of combination that can lead to the type of fervor that can help support your team.
Just before we move on to the Houston Astros, I do want to talk about Bryce Harper. There's now talk what a difference he's made. I think his career WAR now stands at 42.5. He's aged 29. He's still got some great years ahead of him. There's now talk that he is definitively in line for potentially being a future Hall of Famer. Do you agree with that, first of all?
I think his issue is going to be health. And that's, he's had injuries in the past. And really, Hall of Famers are determined by the second half of their career for the most part, right? Yep. There are a lot of players that put together 8-9 good years, and then some fall off, and others are able to maintain close to that level of ability. And that's the difference maker in terms of giving them the counting stats and the overall, even analytic numbers, like that combined WAR number, that wins above replacement number. So that's going to be the question. You know, you talk about, there are a lot of players who are around that age. You have Manny Machado, who's around that age. You have Mookie Betts, who's around that age, all pretty clumped together in terms of their performance. And really, again, for all of them, it's about health and how well they're going to be able to stand up. I mean, Bryce Harper, when he is in his prime, when he is healthy, he's probably as good a player as any in the big leagues.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the Astros. And, you know, you've already mentioned how stacked their hitting lineup is. I want to focus on their ace, on Mr. Verlander. I mean, what is it? About 103 years old. He's still throwing 99 miles per hour and with control. I mean, the man is an absolute freak of nature.
Yeah, you wonder whether he's the second coming of Nolan Ryan. And I don't mean that in terms of, you know, the high velocity, but in terms of that ability late in his career to continue to be a dominant pitcher. That was what was so amazing about Nolan Ryan, was he was getting into his 40s and he still could be a top level, top shelf ace. And Verlander says he wants to keep on pitching. And if he could stay healthy and be that kind of player, I mean, the sky's the limit. I mean, really, again, talking about what makes a Hall of Famer is how well they're able to maintain in the back end of their career. Verlander's the type of pitcher that if he's able to come even close to what he did this year for another 3, 4, 5 seasons, then he's going to be one of the greatest of all time.
Interesting stats I've been looking at as well, that this season, particularly compared to last season, an awful lot more innings are being eaten up by starters rather than relievers in this postseason. That it's almost like the return of the starter, that, you know, that they're getting those 5-6 innings out of their front man. Does that benefit the Astros or the Phillies?
I think that the Astros certainly have a deeper bullpen, that they can be a little bit more comfortable to have that tough game. We saw with the Phillies, they had one start that was a complete mess and they really had to really dig into their bullpen. And I think that becomes a huge element, that if one team ends up having to really rely on their bullpen, unless they get that kind of 7-inning start after, that could be the end of one of the teams in this series.
Let me ask you one final question, and I'm going to focus on the Astros. They've been so tarnished, and rightly so, for what they did with Trash Can Gate back in 2017. Is winning this with no question that there's anything untoward going on, just purely because they've got a great manager and they're a great team and they're totally dominant? If they go out there and actually take it to the Phillies and completely dominate them and win this World Series clean, does that come some way to sort of repolishing their halo, so to speak?
I don't think that's possible. I think the haters are always going to hate when it comes to the Astros. But I think that if you are unbiased about it and you just look at this clear-eyed, it's hard to deny that this is an organization that, in terms of their player development, in terms of their chemistry, in terms of their manager, is one that's hard not to feel that they deserve to win this World Series.
Yeah.
That they have so much talent, that they're winning it on the merits. And anyone who's a fan of baseball has to love Dusty Baker. I mean, we've talked about it on this show a million 100%. Times. He's so beloved. He needs that World Series championship, right? Like, you think like, oh, he must have won something. He must have won something with the Giants or the Cubs or here with Houston. He hasn't won one yet. So for me, as much as the Phillies are a compelling story, Dusty Baker is the compelling story. And I would be thrilled for him if he won a World Series.
Okay, buddy. So what's your prediction?
Yeah, I'm going with the Astros in 6.
The Astros is 6. Okay. I'm loving what the Phillies are doing, and just because they're a National League East side, that doesn't bother me at all. I would love to support them. I would love to predict a Phillies win. I'm with you. I just can't see beyond the Astros, and I'm actually sad to say I see it as Astros in five. I think they're that dominant. I'm going to give Phillies one game when they get back to Philadelphia. I'm going to see the euphoria of the home child carrying them to that one win, but I just can't see beyond the Astros with, and I'm going even further down the line, 4-1. Astros win 4-2, JC. JC, look, I know you've taken time out from your very busy schedule. Thank you so much. We are going to get together to have a chat when it's all over. Are you going to get a chance to watch any of these games?
I'm going to definitely try, because as much as I agree with you, Goldie, in fact, I thought about going Astros in five, I will not be surprised one bit if the Phillies win this World Series. I mean, Right. They're, again, team of destiny. They have the pieces, if everything slots into place, yeah, to have a big surprise. So I think it could be a very exciting World Series. So I am excited for sure.
Yeah, but for Dusty's sake, I hope you're wrong. Buddy, as always, an absolute pleasure. Look forward to having your company very soon. That's it from the World Series preview from the Johnny and Josh Show, Season 3. We hope you've enjoyed it. We will be back post-World Series. Enjoy the baseball.